Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It stands to reason that a lot of actors are going to become wrestlers, and sometimes a lot of wrestlers are going to become actors because there are a lot of similarities. You need a larger-than-life personality, you need to be able to act in front of a camera, you need to be able to do things with a microphone in your hand, or at least not in your hand when you're doing a movie, and hey, if you're good at something, why not double, triple, quadruple it up? And given that we are wrestling fans, we always talk about The Rock and Hulk Hogan and Dave Bautista, who obviously went from the squared circle into Hollywood. But sometimes there were people already in Hollywood that you didn't know were wrestlers. My name is Simon Miller, welcome to What Culture Wrestling, and here is 8 of those things I just said out of my mouth. Number 8, Brian Glover. I like Brian Glover, mostly because when he was describing himself, he would say, well, I'm a bald-headed, mean-looking Yorkshireman. And anybody that's a part of the Bald Brotherhood, it's all right by me. It's how he landed roles in the likes of Ken Loach's 1969 classic Les, and also how he played Bottom in Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream. Now that was a little bit of a stretch given his accent, but it's called acting, people. You must act. When he wasn't stood in front of a camera though, Brian was a genuine wrestler known as Leon Arras, and I only pronounce it like that because he used to say he was from Paris. Now I'm sure he meant Paris, but it's not spelled Aris, so I'm going with this one. Once again, I'm not sure why he decided to be a Frenchman given how he spoke. Hey man, you can do whatever the hell you want. Leon was more of a comedy performer than a 5-star classic worker, but he used all the tricks of the trade in order to engage the audience, and he actually got some good feedback. And it's not a bad way to make a living either, just take all your passions and put them in a gift bag. He was basically like the original Chris Jericho. Number 7, Milton Reed. You may not recognize the name Milton Reed, but when I throw Oddjob in there, the villain from James Bond, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. He used to throw his hat to kill people, which sounds rubbish. Before you remember, it had blades in it. He was a little bit flubbed up. And the reason I'm throwing all this into one big pot is because at some point in life, Milton was like, my word, I'm going to play Oddjob. And he was, if it hadn't gone for Harold Zakata instead, who was also a wrestler. And don't worry, we're going to talk about Harry later. But because they both were sports entertainers, they were going to have a feud to decide who would get this role before producers found out about this and said, no, don't do that. We don't like it. The main reason Reed didn't get it in the end is because he'd already been inserted into James Bond lore because he had starred in Dr. No, or at least appeared in it, and then he went and did this again in 1977 when he popped up in The Spy Who Loved Me. So this guy really did all right. When he wasn't doing all of this though, he was back in the ring, and do you know what his wrestling persona name was? I'll give you a second, you didn't come up with it. It was Jungle Boy, so there's more than one. Number 6, Alex Karras. So this one was new to me, but man, did it make me happy, because I'm sure you've heard of Mel Brooks's classic Blazing Saddles, which took the satire bun and just hit it over and over again, and then also at times would pivot to fart humor, including that one scene where a bunch of cowboys are eating beans, and they do indeed start to pass wind. So you really want to check it out, you'll get a little bit of everything. The story also features a guy named Mongo, a terrifying but stupid assassin who wants to do away with the main character of Sheriff Bart. And what do you do when you need a gargantuan man in order to look scary? You go to wrestling. On top of that, the actor behind this, Alex Karras, also played in the NFL from 1958 to 1970. And really, when he wasn't on the gridiron, that is indeed when he put himself in the squared circle and a little bit of money doing the slams. And he never did much of note in the ring, but he did have a massive feud with Dick the Bruiser. And there's a name you'll recognize, so he did more than most. The story for this one is great too, because they told everyone that they'd fought in a bar, and now they'd taken that scrap and they decided to do it in a bunch of fans. In the actual reality, Alex had been suspended from the NFL, so once more, why not go back and do this? Number 5, Lenny Montana. Do not mess with Lenny Montana. I mean, this guy leans so heavily on his Italian roots. If Vince McMahon had met him in the 1980s, that absolutely would have been his gimmick. But when you go through his career and you go through his life, this is someone that you just want to go, hello, sir, yes, sir, whatever you need, sir. Because not only can he lay claim to portraying assassin Luca Brasi in Francis Ford Coppola's masterpiece known as The Godfather, the reason he was chosen for this role is because before he was doing this, he was actually in the mafia. So that's some damn good method acting. So where does wrestling fit into all that? Well, quite incredibly, it comes before he joined the mob. And I understand how you make all these transitions. But yeah, he dubbed himself the Zebra Kid. He won a couple of tag titles in Georgia and Minnesota before deciding, I don't want to do predetermined fighting anymore. And I would rather, I don't know, go shoot people. I don't know what he did, but again, just respect him and hope that he lets you on by. Number 4, Woody Strode. In 1991, Jim Herd, who was running WCW, got Ric Flair in his office and said, look, Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, one of the greatest wrestlers ever, I don't want you to be Ric Flair anymore, and I want you to cut your hair and call yourself Spartacus. Ric Flair said, I'm not going to do that, and he went to WWF. But when it came for Woody Stroud, well, he was much more fine with it. And as I'm sure you figured out, this wasn't in a wrestling ring. This was actually partaking in the movie known as Spartacus that was directed by Stanley Kubrick. And he was so good, he was nominated for a Golden Globe. I mean, that's pretty good for your CV. Stepping into the shoes as an Ethiopian gladiator known as Drabar, he actually spared Kirk Douglas, his main character, in a fight to a death because he felt sorry for him, spoilers. And you've got to assume that this kind of action was helped in the sense that in the 50s, you've already figured it out, he was a professional wrestler. Taking on the likes of Gorgeous Jaws, Bearcat White, and Bobo Brazil, he didn't let any of this success get to his head, and when he wasn't auditioning for a role or, you know, actually in a film, he would always go back to sports entertainment. So now we found the original Dwayne Johnson, although he comes back a little bit more than The Rock. Number 3, Harold Sakata. We've already talked about him, but he had to have his own entry because, yes, as you've already figured out, Harold Sakata played Oddjob. Do you know how cool that is? One of the most iconic villains ever, and nobody can ever take it away from him. Forget all that, though, because Sakata actually did everything. He won a silver medal at the 1948 London Olympic Games, and then, yes, he jumped across to do professional wrestling where he was Tosh Tonga, and he made a lot of money, and he made a lot of success. I mean, he was winning multiple NWA regional titles throughout the 50s and 60s, and I guess he made such a name for himself that somebody saw him and thought, well, we should cast him in this huge movie. I mean, this really is quite the story. You can also find him in roles where he starred next to William Shatner, and if you look hard enough, you'll also see he was the face for a little while of Vic's cold medicine. And that's nothing to sniff at. This is why everybody hates me. Number 2, Robert Jeep Swenson. You're more likely familiar with this one because most people have seen this movie, but before we do get to that, old Robbo here was also involved in what was dubbed the greatest professional wrestling match ever. Now, do not get me wrong, it was absolutely not, and you should never watch it, but WCW did build their triple cage as exactly this, as they took Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage and basically every other body they could find, and they had them fight. Somehow Arn Anderson was in this dress as a ninja, and so was Zeus from No Holds Barred, and thankfully at the last minute, somebody changed Swenson's name from The Final Solution to The Ultimate Solution. But honestly, World Championship Wrestling, what were you doing? Why did you even have a variation of this name? It is flipping offensive and you're all a bunch of idiots. Anywho, Robert Longleg claimed to having the biggest biceps in the world, which caught the eye of one Joel Schumacher, who needed somebody who was absolutely massive to play Bane. And well, I've already let you know what did happen. He did get this role in Batman and Robin, and yeah, he looked absolutely ludicrous. This gives me a rare opportunity of What Culture Wrestling to rant about the absolute piece of crap, because as a massive Batman fan, it still offends me and it still insults me to this day. And if I could sort of like burn every single copy that was on this earth, I would dedicate my life to doing so. Number 1, Tyler Mane. Before Kevin Nash jumped ship to the WWF, he was kind of struggling in WCW with Vinnie Vegas, but he also had a tag team partner. Tyler Big Sky Mane was his name, and as soon as Big Sexy had jumped ship, he was kind of a little bit lost, his World Championship Wrestling didn't want to do anything with it. Maybe he kept this all under his hat too, because years later, when Kevin Nash wasn't able to answer a casting call because of a scheduling conflict to play Sabretooth in the 2000 X-Men movie, guess who picked up the phone and said, well, you know what, I can do it. It was your old pal Tyler. So Balance had returned to the Force, and if you really get knee-deep into his IMDb career, he was in Troy with Brad Pitt. He was also the dude under the Michael Myers mask in Halloween that came out in 2007. And if you look hard enough, you will see him acting with Dwayne The Rock Johnson in The Scorpion King. So I don't know about you, but that is pretty good. If someone said that I was going to star in those three movies, I would say, absolutely, brother, sign me up. Although I've never teamed with Kevin Nash, so this doesn't tie in at all. But the point is, you just never know who's going to turn up and when.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.